Hello, and thank you for standing by. My name is Kay, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Q2 2026 conference call for AirBoss of America. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, simply press star one again. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Gren Schoch, Chairman and Co-CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the AirBoss second quarter results conference call. I'm Gren Schoch, and I'm the Chairman and Co-CEO of AirBoss of America. With me here today are Chris Bitsakakis, President and Co-CEO, Frank Ientile, our CFO, Chris Figel, our EVP and General Counsel. Before we begin, I'd like to remind listeners that our remarks today contain forward-looking statements, including our estimates of future developments. We invite listeners to review risk factors related to our business in our annual information form and our MD&A, both of which are available on SEDAR+ on our corporate website. Also, we'll discuss certain non-GAAP measures, including EBITDA. Reconciliations of these measures are available in our MD&A. Finally, please note that our reporting currency is U.S. dollars. References today will be in U.S. dollars unless we indicate otherwise. With that, I'll turn the call over to Chris for our operational review.
Thank you, Gren, and good morning, everyone. AirBoss continued to build momentum in the second quarter of 2026, with a three-year high point in quarterly revenue and a year-over-year quarterly gross profit improvement of over $2.5 million. Despite the ongoing economic uncertainty in key markets brought about by tariffs, inflationary pressures, and geopolitical developments, the company has stayed focused on continuously adapting to an ever-changing environment. A sustained focus on servicing the needs of existing customers and the development of new markets and customers while creating flexible supply chains designed to withstand the pressures of changing market conditions have all contributed to the momentum of the past year. AirBoss Rubber Solutions has been adjusting to the changes in key U.S. markets with the onboarding of new customers while being forced to defend market share in key market segments due to the competitive challenges related to the weak market conditions. Despite these challenges, AirBoss Rubber Solutions continued to see improvements in both volume and revenue compared to prior quarters, with revenue showing a 12-month high and volume showing progressive momentum over three consecutive quarters. AirBoss Manufactured Products saw positive traction across both its defense and rubber molded products businesses, with year-over-year quarterly revenue increases of 14% and year-over-year quarterly gross profit improvements of close to 20%. This revenue performance was bolstered by sales increases in the rubber molded parts business, as well as the ongoing deliveries of defense products, including the final delivery of Bandolier on the most recently announced contract. Profitability across the enterprise has been further supported by aggressive efficiency improvements, which include the previously announced overhead improvements and plant consolidation plans. The dedicated focus on revenue growth and efficiency improvements are reflected in the underlying performance of the business. While adjusted EBITDA in Q2 of 2026 was lower by $719,000 than in the prior year quarter, the comparison includes the benefit of a one-time $3.7 million legal settlement recorded in Q2 2025. As the process of improvement never really ends, we continue to look at efficiency improvements and risk mitigation actions, and given the cross-border nature of our operations, management continues to monitor any changes or updates in trade negotiations with the United States. While most products qualify under USMCA CUSMA, we continue to evaluate and implement contingency plans to mitigate potential impacts, particularly in advance of any future trade negotiations or agreement renegotiations. Despite this environment of continued economic uncertainty, management remains focused on converting key opportunities to support sustainable long-term growth. We currently expect continued volume and margin volatility at ARS for the foreseeable future and through most of 2026, with the timing and magnitude of further recovery subject to general market conditions, geopolitical developments, and the potential for additional tariffs, duties, or evolving trade restrictions. As we navigate short-term challenges and opportunities, The company's long-term priorities continue to center on the growth of the core rubber solutions segment through both inorganic and organic means, as well as the focused targeting of new business in the manufactured products group from onshoring opportunities, as well as the prolific growth expected in defense spending around the world. Airbus will continue to focus on both these short and long-term priorities while investing in key innovations related to all core areas of the business. I will now pass the call over to Frank for the financial review.
Thanks, Chris, and good morning, everyone. As a reminder, all dollar amounts presented today are in U.S. dollars except dividends per share, which are in Canadian dollars. Percentage changes compare Q2 of 2026 to Q2 of 2025 unless otherwise noted. To be respectful of your time today, I will aim to be brief in my summary of our Q2 2026 results. Starting from the top line, Airbus's consolidated net sales for Q2 2026 were $107.9 million, an increase of 9.4% from the prior year. The increase was primarily due to higher sales at manufactured products, defense products business, and increases in the rubber molded products business, in addition to increased sales at rubber solutions across several customer sectors. Consolidated gross profit for Q2 2026 increased by $2.6 million to $18.8 million compared with Q2 of 2025. Gross profit as a percentage of net sales increased to 17.4% for Q2 2026 from 16.4% in Q2 of 2025. The increase in margin percentage was driven primarily by the continued delivery of previously awarded contracts at AMP's defense products business, margin improvements at AMP's rubber molded products business, managing controllable overhead costs, and continuous improvement initiatives. Despite higher volumes across several ARS customer sectors, the segment experienced margin contraction due to continued market volatility, economic uncertainty, and unfavorable mix. Now turning to our individual segments, net sales at the Airbus Rubber Solutions segment for Q2 2026 increased by 10.7% to $56.4 million from $50.9 million in Q2 of 2025. This was due to the improvements across many sectors at ARS despite continued economic headwinds. Volume was up 16.4% with increases across certain sectors. Tolling volume was down 38.1% while non-tolling volume was up 17.5%. Gross profit at Airbus Rubber Solutions for Q2 2026 increased to $6.9 million from $6.6 million in Q2 of 2025. The $0.3 million increase was primarily a result of higher non-tolling volume compared to the same period in 2025, partially offset by unfavorable mix and margin pressure. Gross margin percentage decreased to 12.2% of net sales in Q2 2026 from 13% of net sales in Q2 2025. Net sales in the manufactured product segment for Q2 2026 increased by 13.9% to $62.7 million from $55 million in Q2 of 2025. This was primarily due to higher sales in the defense products business driven by deliveries under previously announced contract awards and improved sales in the molded rubber products business. Gross profit at manufactured product segment for Q2 2026 increased to $11.9 million from $9.6 million in Q2 of 2025. The $2.4 million increase was primarily a result of volume and mix improvements in the defense products business, as well as improvements in the rubber molded products business. Turning again to the consolidated results, net cash provided by operating activities for Q2 2026 was $1.8 million compared to $12.9 million provided for Q2 of 2025. During Q2 2026, the company invested $4 million in fixed assets compared to $1.8 million in Q2 of 2025. Capital expenditures were related to growth initiatives, upgrades to property, plant, and equipment within ARS and AMP. By the end of Q2 2026, our net debt balance was $72.9 million versus $67.6 million at the end of Q2 of 2025. We expect to fund the company's 2026 operating cash requirements, including required working capital investments, capital expenditures, scheduled debt repayments from cash on hand, cash flow from operations, and committed borrowing capacity. The company's asset-based revolving line of credit facility provides for a maximum borrowing of up to $125 million with a $25 million accordion. As of June 30th, 2026, the total available borrowing capacity under the facility was $78.3 million, with $31.4 million drawn. With that, I will now turn the call over to Chris. Chris?
Thank you, Frank. Operator, at this point, we can open the line up for Q&A.
Thank you so much. At this time, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star one again. We will take our first question from the line of Ahmed Abdullah from National Bank of Canada. Your line is now open. You may now begin.
Hi, good morning. This is Alexander Tayat filling in for Ahmed Abdullah. My first question is just on ARS. In your outlook, you noted that you expect continued volume volatility through most of 2026. Is that because of the order patterns you're currently seeing from customers or more general caution around the end market? And what would you need to see to become more confident that the recovery is sustainable?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, more sort of general uncertainty. We've shown three quarters in a row of progressive growth in volume, and revenue has hit a 12-month high. So we're fairly optimistic that we've been able to draw in new customers and grow our markets and defend our current market share appropriately. I think that cautionary statement is more related to the end markets that we serve. As we see, you know, job data in the U.S., as we see the overall industrial economy in the U.S. improve, we should improve along with it. I guess it's more just cautionary around any sort of unexpected new rounds of geopolitical uncertainty that it's very difficult to forecast for now. But I think we've shown that even despite that uncertainty, we've been able to grow three quarters in a row, and we're fairly optimistic we can continue to do that.
Okay, thanks for that. And my last question on AMP. Excluding last year's legal settlement benefit, it looks like margins improved. Anything you can share on how much of that reflected defense contract mix versus operational improvements in rubber molded products? And as we think about the remainder of 2026 and beyond, should we presume similar margin levels?
Yeah, thanks for that question. It was a combination of both AMP's defense products business and rubber molded products. So it's a combination of both from a mix perspective. As Chris indicated in his narrative, given the Bandolier large contract balanced out in the quarter, we do see some softness coming into Q3, which would affect the margin profile moderately. But having said that, the engineered products group continues to build momentum with pretty robust automotive volumes and their non-automotive part of the business as well.
All right. Thanks for that. That's it for me.
Thank you so much. The next question comes from the line of Dean James from TD Cowen. Your line is now open. You may now begin.
Good morning. Thanks very much for the time. My first question, just want to return to the earlier question around kind of the volatility with respect to volumes. The 16% year-over-year growth in volume in the quarter was the first quarter of positive year-over-year growth going back to early 24. Should we interpret your indications around volatility that kind of positive 16%. We don't want to assume that's sustainable here going forward, that kind of year-over-year growth rate. But could we, with this volatility you're seeing, could it go negative again for a quarter and sort of jump around in that respect? Or do you feel you're pretty clearly at a point where the growth will be positive year-over-year, it just may, the actual growth rate could change from quarter to quarter?
Yeah, I think it's that percentage growth that we feel could be a little bit volatile, but management does expect to continue to grow, particularly when you look at it year over year, because if you recall from 2025, Q1 and Q2 of 2025, Q1 especially was fairly strong, Q2 started to soften, and then Q3 and Q4, we saw the full impacts of all the sort of tariff-related uncertainty and everything else. So I think when you're comparing Q3 and Q4 year over year, we still expect to show growth over those quarters. The volatility is more related to, do we expect 15% every quarter? Probably not. but we have brought in new customers. They are growing. We do see growth ahead of us. The only thing that could slow that down is a significant economic event in the U.S. And just we've been, you know, maybe quite cautious on our wording around that because much of it is out of our control. But for the time being, we're feeling pretty optimistic that we can continue to grow ARS for the balance of the year.
So maybe, thanks, that's helpful then. Now thinking about it sequentially, am I interpreting your comments correctly, Chris, in that, you know, sequentially as we move through Q3 versus Q2 and Q4 versus Q3, there shouldn't be any, at least you don't see any major step backs at this point or steps down in volume. Not to say they have to go up, but there shouldn't be any sort of more significant step downs unless, again, there's some sort of unexpected kind of economic event or external factor.
Yeah, that's right. I think if you look at the volume in Q4 of last year, we grew Q1 over Q4 and we grew to Q2 over Q1. And we are continuing to grow with new customers through the summer. Now, of course, Q3 also, there are some plant shutdowns with some of our customers, particularly on the automotive side. But when you start comparing year over year, the volatility we expect is not about going backwards. It's about the rate of growth adjusting up and down a little bit as we build momentum into the fourth quarter. And, you know, depending on how quickly some of these geopolitical problems get behind us, including, you know, the USMCA negotiations or, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, we could see quite a strong recovery in the industrial base in the U.S., and we're poised to take advantage of that. So we're just being cautious about our wording around that. But we feel pretty good about the momentum we're seeing at ARS, and we're hopeful that we sort of bottomed out in Q3 and Q4 of last year, and we're really driving it forward now.
Okay, great. Can you just give us a bit of a sense, if we exclude the rubber solutions volume that is used internally, I guess primarily in at Flexible, the rubber compounds that are sold to external customers, approximately how much of that is to Canadian-based customers or facilities, and how much of it goes across the board, or just say across the board, but how much of it is for U.S.-based customers?
Yeah, I think I'd have to run the math. I think it's around 15%. I don't know, Frank, if you have an exact
Canada
number.
Versus U.S.
Canada versus, yeah.
It's about 15 to 20%, Tim, stays in Canada. About 80% goes across the border.
Okay, when you say stays in, okay, right. So, and that's a reflection of the end customer as well, not just sort of based on origin. Okay. So, 15 to 20% stays in Canada, the balance across the border. And that balance that's going across the border, are you including the what's going to Flexible in that, those rubber compounds?
Yes.
Okay. Then, Chris, you commented about the challenging competitive environment, and it's something that came up on the first quarter call as well. I'm sorry if you give us a bit of an update on kind of where you're seeing those challenges. You know, is it product types, sort of particular regions? Just any comments around kind of where that's most acute?
Yeah, I think this quarter, if you look at the way the quarter sort of played out, it's kind of interesting. Yes, we're still in a sort of a position where there's a lot of competition. There's open capacity because the industrial base is relatively slow, still in the U.S., but has yet to show a full recovery. I know the stock markets are showing a recovery, but our end customers are still, you know, not quite participating in that size of a recovery yet. So because of that, there's open capacity, and when there's open capacity, competitors are more aggressive on pricing. When you layer onto that the fact that we've been seeing raw material increases because of what's going on in the Middle East, you know, a lot of what comes into a rubber batch comes out of a barrel of oil or some sort of connected petrochemical sort of connection to oil. We've seen increases in, you know, much of our commodities. And although we're able to pass those increases on to our customers relatively efficiently, a lot of it depends on how much inventory you're sitting on. So when you're competing on a product and you're pushing through a price increase and your competitor has not yet pushed it through, then that creates sort of a downward pressure on available volumes for you. So we've had to defend in that way throughout the second quarter. Now I feel fairly confident that through that second quarter, whatever inventory was available on previously lower priced commodities has been used up, and everybody's on the same sort of wavelength now. We're now getting pushing those price increases through a little bit quicker than we were in second quarter in order to make sure that although we want to make sure that we keep our margin profile intact, we also don't want to lose volume. So when there's volatility like that, both in the commodity pricing side of it and on the capacity side, you have to be cautious with what the market will bear. And I think going into Q3 now, I think we're on a more level playing field with all our competitors, and we should be able to fairly pass on those price increases that we're starting to see on the raw material side.
Okay, that's helpful. My last question, sticking with rubber solutions, can you talk about any influences or considerations we should think about over the coming quarters, you know, maybe right into 2027, in terms of mix that could influence, and you know, I'm thinking about it either kind of gross margin per pound or EBITDA per pound to take your pick, but just changes, more, you know, particular batches coming through that are more customized or color, just any kind of influences on that margin per pound that we should think about over the coming quarters.
Yeah, we've been focusing on specialty materials for exactly that purpose. And, you know, we just launched our first silicone line a few quarters ago, and we're starting to build momentum in the market. And we feel that that's a positive sort of progression towards an improvement in our margin profile, as it's much less commoditized than some of the black materials that we're making. We're still doing very well on the colored rubber and some of the current specialty compounds that we're doing. And we're, in fact, not just seeing better margins, but also less volatility on the volume side as well. So I think the silicone is going to take some number of quarters to really start to build up to move the needle on the margin profile side of things, but we're starting to see it happen already. And we should be able to, over the next, you know, 6 or 8 months, start to notice it a little bit more more intently on that side of it. And we are preparing right now for the next major innovation for the next polymer that we currently don't provide to the market. We've ordered a specialty equipment that should be coming in towards the end of this year. So we plan to continue to build on in this organic way our broadening of our product portfolio, went from black to rubber, from black to color, then to silicone, and now we have the next one sort of teed up, which we'll talk about at a future time. We also continue to keep our eyes open, and we are engaged on opportunities for acquisitions for ARS that could potentially increase both volume and margin profile. And so, there's room for lots of optimism around ARS right now. And we're just hopeful that the economy starts to recover as we expect it to in the midterm, so that we can take advantage of that.
Okay, so fair to say, you know, you have got more opportunities for margin improvement than just volume and sort of pricing as the economic environment takes place. There's some other potential drivers of margin improvement in rubber solutions. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I mean, product mix is one of the levers that we're really trying to focus on the margin improvement profile side. And that's why we launched the silicone line. And that's why we're right now designing the next sort of approach there, so that we can continue to improve our margin profile based on product mix as well. But also capacity utilization is really important. You know, when the market is soft, as it has been, and you're underutilizing your plants, that will have a direct impact on your margins as well and your efficiency. So we feel on the way up, we should be able to deliver higher margins as our capacity utilization improves, and as some of our more specialty products start to influence product mix a little bit more.
Okay, great. That's really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have reached the end of the Q&A session. I will now turn the call back over to Frank for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thanks again to everyone for attending today's call. Please feel free to reach out to us directly or through our investor relations team if you have any questions on our results or anything in general. Thank you again and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.